The epistle appointed for this, the second Sunday of Lent, is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress or overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things. As we have told you before and have testified, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them, and his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. But Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. As he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
amen. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is reminding his Thessalonian converts that they are pleased, that he is pleased with them in their way they are walking towards God. But yet he wants them to do a little bit more, always trying to improve themselves, to stay away from the things that they used to do, the immorality, the immodesty, the unchastity, and all that. So he's trying to focus their attention more on offering up to God the good things. We too have to do the same thing. We have to be more careful, more watchful. We have to be more modest, more chaste. Not be like the world who doesn't care. Dress and do whatever they like, whatever makes them feel good. These are some things we can offer up to the good Lord for past faults and failings, that we are a little more modest and more chaste, wanting to show the good example. But also, this is Lent. And now we add on top of all this our own extra gifts. And of course, the church has already gave us an ideal of how to make a good Lent by our fastings, by our extra prayers, by almsgiving, and also to read the epistle and gospel every day in Lent. And on top of that, read the prayer for Mass, the opening prayer for Mass, and see how much Holy Mother Church is praying for your success. eagerly praying that if you do these things, fasting, praying, and almsgiving, that we wash away the shortcomings of other times. And it's going to hurt a little. But we have to do it. And if we've been a little lax in our resolutions this last week, well, we try to double down this week. Try to do a little bit better. Always trying to be faithful to the little resolutions that we have made and try to perform them to the best of our ability. Because after all, the good Lord here is doing his work too. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be sanctified. The will of God is our sanctification. We must become saints. We must want to become saints. And in order to become a saint, how can I do that? By constantly trying to keep my heart and mind focused on how well I can please the good Lord through my daily duties, through my prayers, through my tribulations, through my trials, through my misfortunes, through everything. Never, ever, ever getting discouraged or giving up or falling into despair because things aren't going right. Our Lord knows our miseries. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our faults. But he says the same thing to his disciples as he says to us today. Go back and pick up that cross and follow me. And that's what we must do. No matter what. After all, it's our souls that we are at account here. We want to become like saints. We want to be clean. We want to be holy. We don't want to be like the world, careless, immodest, and such like. Look at the great grace that our Lord gave to his three predominant disciples, Peter, James, and John. It's the first time that in the gospel that our Lord actually transfigures himself to what he is, God himself. And we can just imagine the astonishment. Of course, James and John were silent, but Peter just didn't know what he was saying. Let's build three tents for you. But the unique part of this is what comes next. The Father now is making his announcement. The only thing that he's interested in. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. What consoling words. If we hear what the good Lord has to say and put into practice what he preached, we become like that, pleasing sons and daughters of the Father. So we have our work cut out for us. Now we realize what we need to do. And that means we're going to have to suffer, yes. Some a lot, some not so much. But suffering is the key. Look how much our Lord, in his love for us, was willing to suffer for us. This is what we've got to keep in mind. The whole concept of the Passion, the proof of his love for mankind, that he had nothing other desire than to save mankind from hellfire. And there was only one method that he knew would work. And as we contemplate on that, and thinking of what he had to go through, can we truly complain over the little trials and tribulations that our Lord sends us? Try to remember when he sends these things to us, he is cleaning house. He's trying to make us clean. He's trying to scrub the dirt off of us. And unfortunately, self-will, pride, and arrogance usually stops him from doing it. But like a good father and a good shepherd, he's never going to quit. If you prevent him in this direction, he's just going to come back with another. He's only interested in one thing, the sanctification of your soul. That's the most important thing. And as we walk through the days of Lent, we got to keep all these things in mind, that we want to become as similar, as close as we can, like he is. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Be simple. It's not long prayers and hours of spiritual reading. It's how well we conduct ourselves with the proper attitude and religious devotion. That's what counts. That's why I keep telling you, every day we get another opportunity to improve ourselves if we failed, and another day to know, love, and serve our good Lord. Because after all, as you've been reminded so many times, we are on a pilgrimage, and every day we're getting closer and closer and closer to that awful day, as they call it, when I will have to stand before the judgment seat of God and listen to what has to be told me. Did you do all these things for the love of me? Or did you do all these things for your own self? Which is it? If you deliberately did all these things for the love of me, we'll have a gentle countenance of our Lord. But if not, whose fault is that? So, as we continue on walking towards God, let us try to do everything as best we possibly can. That's what he expects of us. To improve ourselves a little bit better than we did yesterday. To pray a little more earnestly than we did yesterday. Not in a hurry, but to take our time. To really talk to God. Let him know our problems, our failings, our worries. Because he's always ready at every single moment to demonstrate his mercy and to forgive and to forget. We will never outdo the mercy of God. Don't think, oh, my sins are so great, God cannot forgive me. Oh, yes, he can, and plus a million times over. Because that's what he desires. That's what he wants. He wants to show his mercy, even to those who don't deserve it. And knowing of this, then that gives us confidence that our Lord will always take care of us, watch over us, protect us, so that when the summons comes, if we've done what we're supposed to do, we'll be very happy. Because after all, we're supposed to know, love, and serve the good Lord and be happy with him for all eternity, are we not? So as we improve ourselves each day, trying to be more and more becoming holy and trying to become saints, as we should. Again, let us not get discouraged if we sometimes fail. If you've ever read the lives of the saints, a lot of those lives have been a little bit embellished a little bit. They're too, a little bit sometimes too colorful. But the saints really had a lot of things to suffer. Some things that are probably not even printed in paper. Because they talk about long nights in prayer and fastings and this and that, but you never know what's actually really going on in the mental suffering that they all had to endure one way, shape, or form. The internal struggles with themselves because they're trying to overcome their bad faults that they have that they don't really want anyone ever to see, but sometimes it leaks out. They try to bury it. And I'll end with this. There was a story of, I believe it was a Cistercian monk who had a bad problem with pride. And he was laying in his cell fighting this proud thought, whatever it was, to such a point, And the monks knew that he had a bad problem. I think it was anger. And the monks knew that he had a problem with this. But when they went to check on him, he died. And the monks were wondering, well, what about this? They kind of just don't know, because they knew he had a problem here, and here he is dead. But later on, that monk appeared to one of the other monks, and they thought, well, maybe he's in purgatory for a long time or whatever, you know. And he says, oh, no. No, no, no. I conquered it. I won. I won the battle. The problem is that the body couldn't handle the amount of force I was putting on it to overcome it. And I guess you called it a brain aneurysm. Is that how you say it? Brain aneurysm? Whatever. Well, he died instantly. But he won the fight. So even in struggles sometimes, when we have to go after our predominant faults, of course, we don't have to take it to that extreme, but the point is that we keep on fighting it. We keep on fighting. We don't ever give up. Ever. And not to use a cheap excuse, well, it's just going to happen again tomorrow or next week or next month. Forget. Don't let yourself go down that road. Take it one day at a time. And when you see yourself slipping into this fault or that fault, we try to stop it or correct it as fast as we can. And that's how we conquer it, to the point where it's non-existent. But the point is to keep fighting, never to give up, never to ever give in to discouragement. That's what the devil really wants. He wants you all to throw in the towel so bad. And he tries every method he can think of to get that to happen, to get you first to stop praying, because then he wins half the battle, and then to discourage you and just cause you to go in despair with the rest. And this is why we have to, this is why our Lord says to watch and pray, so we don't fall into these traps. So with that, again, keep up the good works. Keep your prayers going. Trust in the Blessed Mother. Say your rosary. Pray to your guardian angel. Try always to do good. Every day. Do your work as best you possibly can. It's because after all, the work that you're really doing, actually the good Lord is the one who's giving it to you. Your bosses are just doing his will, but it all comes from him. And if we're going to please him, then we must do our work very well, either in school or nursing or doctoring or auto mechanics or policemen or whatever. It doesn't matter, as long as we do it perfectly and for his honor and his glory. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.